We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. You know, it's funny, guys. I'm going to tell you right up front. I'm not calling them Republicans or Democrats any further. And Ava, you're going to love this. I mean, and I've used the word Republicrats before, and I really think they are Republicrats, but I also think they're Democans. So for in the future moving forward, it's Republicrats and Democans. Okay, you got that?
It's good. Yes,
that's
I like it.
That's what we need to call them, Jim. Republicrats, Democans, yeah?
Sounds like The Simpsons. Yeah. I don't know.
Sounds like real life is what it sounds like. I mean, you can't tell one party from the other here. But listen, let's get
started here. Except for the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah. Well, there are some exceptions to the rule always, Ava. But, I mean, come
always.
On. It's
yes.
About impossible to tell these two parties apart. They're both dysfunctional at the highest level and, you know, whatever. All right, listen, the House Intelligence Committee. Big news today. The Republicans find no evidence of the Trump campaign collusion. This was a pretty big story. The House Intelligence Committee, it was redacted, which you kind of expected. The Republican drafted report. Haven't read through the entire piece yet, but I certainly thumbed through the whole piece. And this was an investigation that went on for about a year into Russians' interference in the 2016 presidential election. Now, remember, friends, this is an entirely separate piece from the special counsel Mueller. This is an official committee and report, clearly, as is the case. So now the Democrats attached a 98-page document with it, and this was kind of called the Dissentin' Minority Views, Jim. You'll love that, right? Dissentin' Minority Views. Yeah, they're minority, all right. So the Democrats weren't really happy with that, and they you know, attached it. So 253-page report, kind of hard to read through all that in an afternoon, friends. And really know what they're talking about. But basically, they cited poor judgment and ill-considered actions. If you've seen all that, Ava, with the report. And that was their findings. So the committee finds no evidence whatsoever of the Trump campaign collusion. Like, we could have told them this for month one, people. We didn't need 12 months or 14 months to figure this out. We kind of know this story because we have followed all the pieces to this campaign. I mean, there's a lot of things
so
you can point fingers at here. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I forward that report to Twitter?
You can. You want to? So what? So they'll stop the shadow banning, you mean, or the nonsense,
yes.
Or what? Yeah. Good luck. They still think you're a bot.
Let them know I'm not a Russian bot.
They still think you're a Russian bot, Ava. They're not going to accept that report.
Okay.
I mean, you know what you need to do? You need to call for a meeting and go in front of Congress. That's what you need to do, just like Silk and Diamond Girls there did.
Yeah. I think so.
In fact, the three of us could do that, Jim. Could be Ava, Jim, and Malcolm's show. We could take that right up there to the Hill and tell them all of it. Just sit there and bitch and complain for a couple hours. What do you think, Jim? You up for that?
That sounds like a good afternoon.
Yeah, sounds like a fun afternoon. I'd love to have that. Perfect.
Drinking places in D.C. too.
Yeah, I bet you do. You know, they got tremendous publicity from that, Diamond and Silk did, with all of that. But let's stay on task here. I want to finish this report here first. So let me just tell you, I want to tell you a couple of quick points here, and then you guys can opine on this as well. So a couple of things in the report here. The June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower between the members of the Trump campaign, was Donald Trump Jr., remember, and some others, and a Russian lawyer that was falsely purported to have damaging information on the Clinton campaign demonstrated poor judgment, the report said. So they call it poor judgment, Dave, is what they said. The committee found the Trump campaign's praise for communications with WikiLeaks, which they call a hostile foreign organization, to be highly objectionable and inconsistent with U.S. national security interest, is what the report says. So this is what I've gathered from the report. It gets into the Steele dossier and all of that, of course. But basically, the findings are. Now, what do you think here? Ava, do you think the findings of this report are basically what is pretty much going to be the findings of Special Counsel Mueller, or do you expect a different result?
No, I think Mueller will end up having nothing.
So you think pretty well the same as this then?
Yeah, I don't even think Mueller will have Manafort in the end. I don't think he will.
You don't think so? Yeah, I don't. I wish I could agree with you, but I don't. Jim, what do you think?
I think it's going to Mueller report will be like the proverbial term paper that you had to write. If it was 100 pages, you got an A. He'll do 110 pages and say pretty much nothing. Little this's and that's of style and objectionable behavior, but nothing of substance.
Yeah, so you don't think there's much. All right. Well, do you remember I told you I got a message in from a listener? Let me just remind you, Ava, of something here. Somebody has sent me some information from up from Washington, D.C. She said Mueller is trying to get a closed indictment on Trump to tank him.
Yeah.
And these FBI and CIA agents are doing everything they can to prevent that from happening. There are 120 retired judges, CIA and FBI agents, and NSA contractors in D.C. working to expose the deep state. And so it goes on to say that they believe Mueller is doing a lot of dirty deeds up there. So not everybody is on the page that it's going to be nothing. I still wonder if there's not another shoe to drop, Ava.
I don't know how it can be, because if Cohen pleads the fifth, then that's going to be a stonewall. I know Mueller has his mysterious Russian companies that he's supposedly suing from Russia,
right,
for something, you know, which is, you know, there again, you know, that makes no sense at all. If they found no Russia collusion, then how come he's suing these companies? What was it, 13 names of people in Russia or something? Yeah. And you know, it's like, what, you know, what was that? I mean, that's it. That's all you're going to get out of this.
Why don't they all plead the fifth at this point? Why does it even matter anymore? Do you know?
I want to see Mueller taken out in a jumpsuit with handcuffs.
Okay.
What it's coming to. He's a crook. The guy's a crook.
Yeah.
And when is everybody going to wake up and see this?
Well, we've never had a good feeling about this man, clearly from the beginning. And obviously, we're seeing nothing. The worst part about it is, people, is this. It's not that any of us are opposed to double-checking anybody who's doing any fraud or what have you. But you remember, he is there at the privilege of taxpayers. He is there at the privilege now well over, I mean, we're now over the $100 million mark of taxpayer money. So, friends, listen, if you get an endless supply of money, and, you know, you get an endless checkbook, basically, and all the privileges you can possibly muster, you know, that just kind of goes with the power crowd in Washington. And they're not going to leave real easy, Jim. I mean, he's going to stay there. And that's what he's doing. He's milking it for all it's worth.
Totally. I mean, the guy's out of a job otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah, but come on. The jig is up, though. The jig is up.
It was,
you know,
up from the beginning. It's a joke.
It's been up for a long while, as far as I'm concerned. I've been following this very closely.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know better than anybody.
They got a 283-page report that basically says nothing. Exactly. That's exactly what happens in Washington. Under Obama, his last year, they put out 84,000 new regulations.
Yeah.
Washington is all about make work. And collect
well,
a check.
You know who I think is going to end this is Rudy Giuliani is going to end it. That's who, and it's going to be ended not with a bang, but a whimper.
Well, and you could be right. Maybe it's a whimper. I don't know. But I don't still trust Mueller, Robert Mueller. I'm not a fan, and I don't trust him. And you know, Ava, when you say what you said about Giuliani, and probably most of us as conservatives are probably pretty... many of us like Giuliani. I mean, he's a national hero, national treasure, probably would be a good word to say it, Ava. You know, it's a national treasure for a lot of reasons. But, you know, there's something else I want to get into just after here in a minute here. Jeff Sessions comes out, and he says some pretty strong things in the last day here, Ava, Jim. He says Robert Mueller's investigation of Trump needs to conclude.
The Attorney General says he has some interesting comments I'm going to share with you. So he's not the only one, Ava, when you mentioned Giuliani, who's saying that. But Sessions now seems to
be... But see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what Sessions says, because Sessions is impotent in this situation.
He recluses himself.
No, he's impotent.
Yeah.
He has no power when it comes to Mueller, okay?
Right.
Who has the power is Rosenstein.
Well, let me ask you this now. Do you remember the story, the report we read, and I mentioned it once or twice on air, Jim, we never really dived too far into this, but the idea that Dershowitz came out and said he should unrecuse himself. Ava, what about that? What about that, Jim?
He can do it. There's nothing that stops him from doing it. He should get back involved in it.
Well, why doesn't he do it then, if he can do it?
Because the guy is not a doer. He works in the background of different things. He would have to stand up on stage and lay the whole thing out. And maybe that's what he's planning to do. I don't know, but I don't think so.
Well, Ava says Ava says he's impotent. Do you think he is?
I'm told by people that will remain nameless, that Jeff Sessions has, 180-something sealed indictments, a grand jury. Mm-hmm. All this is ready to go forward in the near future. Everything's going to drop pretty soon, they keep saying. So I'm watching and waiting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time will tell. I know that because I certainly can't get into Jeff Sessions' head, which I don't know if I'd want to be there anyway.
Well, he is a strange bird. He's a strange bird for conservatives. But let's move along. We'll come back to Sessions. I want to share with you some things he said. But let me also tell you here, hot today on Nozzle. So Angela Merkel is in town. And Jim, as we said last couple of days, bros, you've been hanging out with me here on Nozzle, that she got the leftovers today. She didn't get the steak dinner that Macron got from France. She got the leftovers. She was there for a quick trip, Jim, 3 hours in and out of the White House. It was like a flash, you know what I mean?
I heard it was brown bagging from McDonald's.
It might have been. Well, McDonald's has got good fries, though, Jim. They got good fries.
That's one of Trump's favorite meals, you know.
Yeah, they got good fries. You can't beat McDonald's, world famous fries. I mean, you can't top those, Ava. You know, come on. I mean, I don't like their burgers, but I like their fries. I don't go to McDonald's, but if I was, it would be the fries I want, you know. Trump and Merkel met. They had some things to say. Had a press conference on Iran, North Korea, joint press conference. We'll touch on that as well here. Big news, obviously, today is North and South Korea. Wow. Some pretty bold goals that they have. Peace by year's end. The war is over. Complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Many people are saying on the side, if this all happens, that President Trump should get a Nobel Peace Prize. The left is having a heart attack. They are just waiting for something to happen and hoping that something happens. Again, peace, yes, as I've told you before, friends, when it is in your political party. When it's in the opposing political party, not so much. That's how it works in Washington. A lot of other things have happened in North Korea, again, with that site collapse we've been talking about here. And, again, a lot to that. Also, interesting, there was a representative has, back to the hush fund that we follow here, like a daily ritual here with the perverts in Washington and what they do with this hush fund. Somebody has stepped down. I'm going to tell you who that is. A representative stepped down, and they've promised to pay back $39,000 of stolen money to settle their sexual harassment accusations. We'll get into that as well. Let's do some introductions here at the top of Nozzle here. Ava Armstrong, Jim McKay. This is definitely a Friday show, friends, so you'll want to turn the knob just a little bit louder, I think. I'm probably on the dial there for you. And Ava, let's have you start here, please, and tell folks all the phenomenal things, the great things you're doing here as a patriot and a crazy lady that you are. We love you.
I'm writing books, and I'm an author on Amazon. And I have 15 published books, and I am in the process of writing 3 more. I'm also a producer on America Out Loud and for Viewpoint this Sunday.
Yeah, and a Nozzle nerd here for sure on Nozzle. So
yeah,
we got quite a family of Nozzle nerds. We're just loving it here. Jim McKay, please, we give you the 14 seconds, bro.
Okay, in my previous lifetime, I was a electronics and computer nerd. And then switched over to biotech and did everything in terms of drugs and pharmaceuticals, actually manufacturing and developing, not taking them. And now I'm retired, escaped from Silicon Valley to the southern shores of state of Florida, and enjoying the good life as a co-producer for the Viewpoint This Sunday show and a nozzle nerd. And trying to aggravate a bunch of liberals along the way.
You do a good job at that, buddy. You do a good job. I got to tell you, so today we've got an escapee and a dropout. It ought to be quite a show, friends. Hang on right there. More nozzle in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Attorney General comes out and he says late yesterday that this probe into President Trump needs to conclude in order to let him focus. Now get a load of this, guys. Ava, you'd be proud of Sessions. You were being a little sharp on the southern gentleman here in the opening comments that you had. But listen to what he says now. He says that it needs to conclude at once in order to let the president focus on the big problems of the day, like North Korea, the U.S.-Mexico border, and other world negotiations. So finally, he's saying, well, I mean, the president has to run the country. That's what his role is, right? So he says he expects the Justice Department. Now, follow me on what I tell you here. The Inspector General, we've been waiting for this report from Horowitz for some time, and it's been moved around a little bit, the target date on this, but he expects this to finish the investigation into the department's and FBI's handling of investigations into Hillary Clinton during the 2016 election. He says, get ready, in just a few weeks, Ava, Jim, that's what he said, just a few weeks. So he now that he's on notice with that, he's on record, Ava, is what I'm telling you. And he says Horowitz, now this is good news to me. He says Horowitz will have that report out. Now that report is going to be key, you know, to this whole thing. And so I think this is good news. What do you think? Celebration or what?
I think the man is impotent. I just
still stay by that, huh?
I'm stuck with that word because you know, it's just whenever I know I've listened to him talk. I actually heard him give that speech that you're talking about, and you know, I wanted to feel hopeful. Okay,
right.
But it's like you're putting a bowl of cream of wheat in front of me.
You don't do cream of wheat. You're saying you don't.
No,
you don't. Oh,
no.
I see. You should have used a different cereal, maybe.
I want some snap, crackle, and pop.
You're one of those. All right.
Come on,
she
man.
She likes
the
flavorful cereal, Jim. It's all right?
I was thinking Fruit Loops was more like it.
Well, I mean, I'll take anything. I need a snap, crackle, and pop. I need something that's going to move.
Well,
here,
but
know?
listen.
It's not moving. This is moving at the speed of,
well,
of, you
and
know.
You speak for a lot of people, actually, that are frustrated. Jim, when you hear Ava there, a lot of people are frustrated. A lot of the movement and a lot of the MAGA people are very, very frustrated with this.
It's not that I'm frustrated. Let me just say one thing, okay?
Right,
if this can happen to Donald J. Trump,
right,
it can happen to Malcolm.
Absolutely.
It can happen to Jim McKay.
Right.
It can happen to Ava Armstrong.
Sure.
We should be terrified that this could happen to us. We speak out against
the deep
state.
Well, it does happen to all
state.
Of us. It does happen, but except we really get the book thrown at us because we don't have any rights.
You know, I like the way Jeff Sessions said this probe, you know,
right.
that's going. Yeah, Trump got a probe on
the ongoing probe. Yeah,
okay.
It's right. He's got a probe right up the ass.
That's what I'm talking about.
And he don't like it. Jim, right?
This is a bad, bad thing. I mean, look at how our government
I'm just thinking, Jim,
on a citizen.
I
know.
We're getting a little out of,
like
you know.
Like he's getting a colonoscopy and they keep pushing the hose.
Colonoscopy, probe, impotent. Where are we going with this conversation? I am really worried about this. It is Friday, but we'll jump right into the hot fire here. Go ahead.
In January, they announced that the Inspector General's report would be out the first week of March.
Right.
In February, it was April. In April, it's May. And May's just starting, so it's probably going to be June. And sometime after the election in November, I think we'll see this report.
There's a word for that, Jim. There's a word for that. It's called a tease, right?
A tease.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Huh? Yeah.
A strip tease at that, I think. Huh?
No, this is a bad kind of tease for me because, you know, I'm chomping at the bit here. And, you know, and they're saying, oh, well, you know what? Sorry, Ava, it's going to be another month, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, when Sessions was...
Adding another 100 pages of baloney to the report.
Well, a lot of baloney.
They had all the information for this report in January.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when the investigation
Yeah, but
was
everything
finished.
Moves slow, Jim. That's the way politicians do things. I mean, the only thing they don't do slow, Jim, is when they screw you over, the public. That they do pretty quick. But the rest of it, it's very slow moving. Listen, I want to tell you at this yesterday when Sessions was speaking about all this. Sorry. So what he said is, listen to this now. He was one of the lawmakers said he saw a double standard in comparing the ongoing special counsel probe into Trump while Sessions declined to name a second special counsel to review the way the department and the FBI handled Mrs. Clinton. That was kind of another point brought up that I thought you both would find interested. And that was kind of brought up like, why isn't this game played on the other side? Now, it goes on here, and I want to say, quote, this is in quotes now, I want to read this to you. At the very root of this, I think my constituents are frustrated, are angry. They see a double standard historically. They want justice. This was the Republican from West Virginia, Representative Evan Jenkins said this. And, of course, he said the number of red flags that deserved, a special counsel to look at. Sessions comes out and he says, listen, he said, I don't want to appoint a special counsel willy-nilly. Well, that's what they did here when Comey did what he did. What do you think they did with this thing? How do you think Mueller got
Boy,
in here
I'll
with
tell
willy-nilly?
You something. Let me just argue back with that,
yeah.
Mr. Malcolm,
yes.
Because I'll tell you what. Obama's crew of criminals slapped this case onto Trump really quick, okay? They got a phony FISA warrant. They did all kinds of things to stop him from getting into office or try to stop him. I read the book All Out War, which is written by a gentleman who works for Vanity Fair. And it's Ed Klein is his name.
Right.
Honest to God, if you read this book, you say to yourself, I cannot believe this all took place right under our noses. And we all fell for it, you know, in the beginning. In the beginning, it was all it appeared legitimate on the face of it. And now that I know what I know, I can't unsee it. Okay?
Well, why do you say it appeared legitimate on the face of it? Why do you say that?
Well, there were so many things going on behind the scenes we didn't even know about.
Right. But I never thought
Sally,
it was legitimate.
The Sally Yates thing and the, you know, I mean, the unmasking of people.
Right. But I never thought the collusion case against Trump was legitimate. I don't think that was ever legitimate that I can see.
Well, a hell of a lot of people bought into it, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, but they're flakes. I mean, clearly, what's legit? I never seen any legitimacy with it, Jim. Nothing was substantiated from the beginning. And any of us who followed the campaign into the election never thought for a minute that he colluded with Russia.
The legal vote being changed by any Russian or otherwise involvement. And they went on to explain that the isolation of the voting machines, they're not on a network, they cannot be hacked, they cannot be this, they cannot be that, that nobody's vote has been invalidated, everything's fine and dandy. At that point, there should have been no investigation.
Exactly.
And then, sure enough, Trump won. Surprise, surprise. And because Trump won, the Democratic Party, their anger, this visceral hate of him and anything the Republicans are doing. I mean, they did the same thing to Bush. I mean,
they did.
They take it to so much of a higher level than the Republicans ever did with Obama. The people that were very critical of Obama were not party people. They were people on the outside looking in that had an axe to grind with him.
Okay.
Basically, from his reluctance to...
lead reluctance to lead.
Well, I mean, he covered up his entire academic career, didn't come forward with the, with that. Then covered up the birth, 2 years to produce a birth certificate. You know, he says, well, I don't have to do that. I'm above that. I'm an elitist. I don't have to answer your questions. And that's the, what he presented. I don't care whether the guy was from Nigeria or the moon at this point. And in the famous words of Hillary Clinton, what doesn't matter anymore? The guy's over and done. Mm-hmm. But what I'm worried about is this Democratic Party has taken this hard line of obstructionism to a level that's never been seen before in our government and across it. And they have a media that is complicit with them on every step.
Totally complicit. Yep. Yeah, totally complicit.
It's frightening. No, it's
that.
Frightening. What I'm watching is frightening. I'm just telling you, it is.
Jim, your point about Obama, listen, I agree and I don't agree with you both. I'll give you both of those. And the reason I don't, I think the Republicrats were very much focused on being obstructionist with President Obama. I think they made that clear from day one. I know because I sat with some of these people, and they were very clear from day one that they did not want Obama to succeed. They absolutely said that. And they went out of their way to make sure that. The difference, though, Jim, is this, and here's the part I agree with you on. The difference is the Republicrats roll over easy. They don't know how to play the team sport that the Democrats know how to do.
Not anymore. What? It's changing. Right.
What's changing? What's changing, Ava? Tell me
what you just said. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's okay. How we got where we are right
exactly.
Now. You're telling the out loud truth. You're right.
Right.
And that is going to change as of now. Believe me.
I love the way you put your foot down, young lady. You're just
they passed a $1.3 trillion budget breaking bill. Mm-hmm. How many weeks ago?
Yeah.
And that was your Ryan and McConnell and the Republicans that went along with that. If that's, you know, they're so scared about the word shutting down the government, mm-hmm. they have no backbone when it comes to finances at all.
No, they don't.
I mean, the more I listen, Jim, mm-hmm. to James Comey and all his various interviews that he's having, okay?
Yeah.
I just have to say one thing. Please be aware that the Gang of Eight, which is comprised of Republicans as well as Democrats, mm-hmm. they were read in on every freaking detail on this take Trump down thing, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That Gang of Eight knew everything. Paul Ryan knew everything, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
And you have to understand there's a reason why Paul Ryan's retiring, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's tied into this. Believe me, it is.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture we paint here, but it's a truthful picture. It's a truthful picture. I agree. There's an establishment that is in play here. This is like big bad mommy booby mafia people back at home. There's an establishment.
This is actually worse than the mafia. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I know a few of the tough guys, all right? They have more of a principled system than these people do.
Well, didn't you marry one of them, Ava? You're married in the mob, aren't you? Didn't that come up in the previous episode?
No, I'm Italian.
You're Italian. There you go. You're married.
I had a dinner here last night with some of my relatives, and I told Jim, I said, it looks like a scene out of The Godfather.
I love it.
If you could see me right now, you would be laughing, you know, because it's crazy. But that's my family. I love them.
Well, everybody's
got
a family.
But I'm telling you, no, there's honor among thieves, okay? What I'm telling you is James Comey, when he said Donald Trump was like a mob boss,
mm-hmm.
he actually put him above what the government is right now, okay? The mafia looks good compared to what I'm seeing in this government. I'm just telling you. That's my opinion.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's talk about one of your favorite. Let's talk about Angela Merkel. Merkel. Yeah, you know her. She's the German chancellor. Well, again, she was at the White House. Again, they gave her a three-hour brown bag lunch leftover deal from the fancy dinner with the French President Macron and his wife, Brigitte, which was really nice. That was a beautiful, beautiful affair, which, by the way, Melania did an outstanding job. She did that whole program herself. They're very frugal people. They really are conservatives, Melania and Donald, because they're very frugal.
They're business people.
They're very conservative. Mm-hmm. Real conservatives are. We can make $10 go far longer. We can get a lot out of a Happy Meal, Ava. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
Called conservatism. And these two are very, very frugal. frugal people. That's all, you know. And so they don't always supersize everything. Now, of course, Trump, you know, this is where he got caught with his pants down with his previous budget. But you see, what's happened is they're handcuffing him. Do we agree? No. But see, he's dealing with an establishment. Well, again, he's dealing with a swamp people. There's only so much the president can do. He's only one branch of this government. And
that's right.
You know, so sadly, and do I agree with what he did there? No, I don't agree. I think the budget was a joke. Everything about it was a joke. But let's get back to
that's
Merkel.
That's not over, though. That budget.
No, I don't think it's open. I think he played it. He played it for the long term. We're going to see, because right now it's totally out of whack. The deficits, we're running $1 trillion deficits now. And of course, Jim McKay knows more about this than anybody. But we're in a lot of trouble there. And there's a price to pay for all this insanity. There's a price to pay for this. But again, when you have the opposing party that holds our military budgets over the heads of social programs and free lunch for everybody, then you really are screwed, because, you know, the first priority of the commander-in-chief is to protect the citizens and the country as a whole. And our military budget has been gutted out. Our military has been gutted out.
A very interesting read right now with the situation that's going on in Korea is the analysis of the military readiness in 1950 when the Korean War broke out. And the rationale for it was all placed upon Truman and the Democrats for cutting the budget and the military readiness.
Yes.
We were so unprepared in 1950 to face a battle. They were taking tanks that were on display at military bases and refurbishing them to be able to send over to Korea. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it was. Aircraft, much worse than you could imagine. We're in the same position today. If the Chinese wanted to attack us or the Russians wanted to attack us, we are ripe for the picking right now.
We're stretched very thin. It's a great point, Jim, you're saying and bringing up here. We're stretched very thin. There's only so much. And, you know, we've reported this past month, Jim, about some of the problems with some of the aircraft falling out of the sky. I mean, we've had troubles with basic maintenance procedures, and the military experts will tell you this, but yeah, it's okay to run around and say we're the mightiest, we're this, we're that, we're the other, but you can't take anything of that for granted, number one. And number two, nor should we ever take that for granted. So the bottom line, people, is this. The reinvestment in our military is bar none. Listen, none of us are warmongers. None of us want to, we're not isolationist on one side, we're not warmongers on the other, but we're realists. We're realists. That's all we are, Ava, in the real world.
You know what? You know what? We should put legislation in place. And we should prioritize our money and how it's spent.
Absolutely.
And the number one thing, we should never have another sequester again in this country on military.
I agree.
Never.
That's a joke. Yeah. It's an absolute joke. And again, with no budgets, remember, we've had a Senate that produced no budgets for years. Harry Reid and now Mitch McConnell are dumb and dumber. And I mean, they're just non-dysfunctional, the Senate has been. And so we haven't even had proper budgets. They've been running from the seat of their pants, borrowing money as we go. We're now borrowing all kinds of money on a daily basis where there's not enough money to run the nation right now. So it's like having your credit card out.
It's extremely dangerous.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's if the people only knew what is really happening here and what they really know. And you know, Jim, it's something we should focus a little bit more on. You in the future here, I'm saying, you as an economic guy and a guy who studies this stuff and is very bright-minded about it. I didn't do well. Math was not my real topic of choice, Jim. Mine was more of a public speaker. I was a great public speaker, and I was more in the arts and science, geography, creative politics, that kind of thing. But math wasn't my ball game. So I got to rely on you for that, bro. Okay.
Okay.
So I know enough to get by on, and the economics is we're dying here.
The Federal Reserve's balance sheet is way out of whack. It's moving further, and there becomes a tipping point with how much we can borrow to how much income's coming in, and we're very close to that right now. Yeah. That the interest rates are moving up.
Yeah.
And if you look at the price of oil, it's gone up dramatically in the last 2 weeks.
It has.
And it's all based upon that borrowing.
Yeah, there's a price to pay for this, Jim. It's a big price. So we need to focus more on that in the future. I know that. So Merkel is in the White House again. She's got this three-hour visit. Now, I want to tell you all, this is the first trip that Merkel has had outside of Germany since she, and by the way, just to remind you all, narrowly won re-election. Narrowly. This was her fourth term. And she narrowly won re-election because she's been a disaster, not just for Germany, but for Europe as a whole. I mean, the insult of what she's done there in her programs, which are failed Europe and Germany, it's tremendous what's happened there. So she's on very, very thin ice there. So she came out, they had the press conference. The president knows this clearly. And so at the press conference, President Trump says that he will be meeting with Kim Jong-un in the coming weeks. He says we look forward to that. He claims his administration will not repeat the mistakes of past administrations. Well, he's already succeeded on that level for sure. And in the meeting with Merkel before the lunch, he says he doesn't think Kim is playing around. And although other administrations were playing him like a fiddle, he doesn't believe that's the case. And most experts are starting to see we're seeing something revolutionary here now. It is a little bit different with what's happening here. With Kim and in Korea, and we need to talk about that next, guys. And unbelievably, historically, the meetings right now that we're seeing with North and South Korea is absolutely something that nobody could have predicted this to this level. I mean, really hard to predict this just a few months ago here. It is pretty amazing that they are talking. Now, when you see the pictures, I have to tell you, Jim, when you see the pictures of Kim Jong-un smiling and you see him and Moon together and, you know, it's a...
They were holding hands.
Holding hands.
Skipping over the border.
In the tulips. Skipping through the tulips. I mean, they've gone from pissing on the tulips to skipping through the tulips. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing juxtaposition
here
of what's happening.
And they even said that families are going to be reunited and visiting with one another.
I knew
another
that was going to happen, Ava. Wasn't that amazing when they said that? And that's really a beautiful thing, because my heart is going out to them forever.
And Kim made a statement which was kind of, you know, I don't know, what would you say, profound? And he says, we're one people, we're one blood, and we should be together.
Mm-hmm. Who said that, Kim?
Kim said
that. Kim said that. Oh, wow.
One people, one blood, and we should be together as one. So
This guy is like, he obviously has hit his head or something. He has got amnesia of some sort.
I think somebody put a boot up his butt.
A couple of roofies in his drinks or something? Is that it? You think China's having sex with him or what? What's going on, Jim?
I think that the Chinese put a swift kick in his butt when he was over there in Beijing a few weeks ago, because he's turned 180 degrees on everything. I mean, the guy is happy and smiling. He's not launching any missiles.
I mean, not to pat myself on the back at all, but over the past many weeks, as we've had talked about this many times, I have said to you all many times that more than likely, it's very, very possibly, potentially, that Kim Jong-un and Trump will end up being not only saviors, but really folk heroes in what happens here in the political landscape. And I really feel this, that and we kind of predicted this back before this even happened. Jim?
Yes. You know, what's really funny about what's happening right now, in 1989, when the Berlin Wall came down, and there were vestiges of people crossing over the border, just walking across, and the border guards weren't stopping him anymore. And if you would have asked anybody in West Germany, how long will it take for unification? Everybody, the pundits, the experts, the politicians, everybody said, no less than 20 years till we reach an accord between the two countries.
I know.
And what was it? 5 years? They were back and they were moving the seat of government back to Berlin. And it was just amazing. I think the same thing's going to happen in Korea.
Jim, it is. When that happened, Jim, the what you just described there, thank you for describing that the way you just did, Jim. When that happened back then in that era, I want you to know something. I was riveted to the news as a young man. I was riveted to the news, and I could see history was being made. And I was so elated what was happening to the German people and what was happening to the collapse of the Soviet Union and what had happened that Reagan and Thatcher and Gorbachev and Pope John Paul and what they had pulled off. This I call it a collection of four unique people, voices out there, what they pulled off. And there were others, but this was unbelievable. And it was at that moment, Jim, that I realized, and you know, I've been thinking about that in recent days, what's happening right now in Korea. It's not escaped me at all. There have been a lot of stories that I have discussed and told on radio over the past few years about the people of Korea, both North and South. They are the losers in all of this with these tyrants and these dictators and what they do. As always is the case, friends, from around the globe, it's the people who suffer. Always the people. The government heads control them. And I have felt passionately that I have wanted to see the day that the Korean people would be unified again and be able to see their families. You got to remember, people, families have been torn apart. Grandkids and families and siblings and husbands and wives and all kinds of people have been torn apart. And their lives have been destroyed in more ways than one. And there have been a lot of deaths over this. And so this is a momentous moment for not only the Korean people, but for humanity. And it's another historical moment. And I got to tell you, I'm so proud of this moment of time. And I'm so proud of this president, friends, that I tell you, really and truly, I say this to you, and I mean this from my heart. And I want to tell you one last thing here about this, with Kim and Moon meeting here and all of this. Kim Jong-un came out and said, he said, I came here to put an end to the history of confrontation. Those words will live in infamy here. I got to tell you, friends, I came here to put an end to the history of confrontation. That is mind-blowing to me. And then he even had a little bit of humor with it. He said, Kim says to Moon, he says, I heard you had your early morning sleep disturbed many times because you had to attend the NSC meetings and because of us with the loud blistering voices and everything on the speakers, he says, getting up early in the morning must have become a habit for you. I will make sure that your morning sleep won't be disturbed any further. And Moon said back of South Korea, great, he said. Now I can sleep in peace. More nozzle, friends, in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
There's something unique about the whole thing and the relationship.
Well, you're really going to love Trump because he's going to actually have peace in the Middle East as well.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that's if that happens, Ava.
It's going to. I'm telling you.
Could be right.
Overthrow of the Iranian regime is what will
happen. Can speak about that briefly for a moment if you want to, because there are things happening right now.
Well, there is right now, and let's touch on that real briefly, and that is this. There's some very big uprising in the last 24 hours here, Ava, Jim, on, again, the Gaza border, the Israeli border in Gaza. And again, they're using the kids and they're using citizens as shields. Israel has had to fire back. They're trying to get in and storm this. I don't know, Ava, when you combine that with the fact that the president came out today also and said that he may very well attend the Jerusalem embassy move, the celebration and opening this coming month, he may attend that. Now, that's a big security risk as well. But so how do you take all that and compute all that to think that somehow peace is going to happen there?
I think there will be peace in the Middle East eventually. I think Trump will be the person that brings that all about as well. And I know it sounds like a crazy far reach, but he's already talked with Saudi Arabia, which is, you know, the seat of Wahhabism. And now they're rejecting Wahhabism, and Saudi is now, you know, complying and becoming a more of an ally of the United States.
Right.
And I think that Saudi Arabia and some other Arab countries will also become a protector. This is going to, again, sound very outlandish. Mm-hmm. They will become protectors of Israel. And I think it's going to be a beautiful thing when it happens.
Well, it's going to be amazing if this happens. And I hear what you're saying. There's more discussions and more relations going on right now with several Middle East partners. You got to remember, the President Trump was early on this with some of his meetings with King Solomon out there and the prince and some of the happenings that they treated him. Well, they treated him like a king when he was out there. They treated America really well in that early summit. You remember they had in Saudi Arabia, guys, you know.
I think the Saudi princes, and I think the people in Saudi Arabia, I think they see the writing on the wall.
I think there's something to it, Ava. I think there's something to it. It's a new world order that's happening here. They realize the old world order is kind of going away now. Iran sees this as well. Iran is scared. They see sort of what's going on here. In fact, there's talk. The president came out and said he's not going to let Iran get nuclear weapons. Germany Chancellor Angela Merkel seconded that. And that was another big talking point at their press conference earlier, by the way.
The Ayatollah will not rule in Iran for much longer. The Ayatollah had some
pretty vicious things to say in the last day or so as well about all of this, Khalid. But that's what you expect from him.
He's going down.
There's two cards we have to play in the Middle East right now.
What are they, Jim?
One, we are no longer dependent upon the Middle East for energy, for oil or anything. We have a surplus of oil producing in the United States. We can fill any gap that we create by putting a complete embargo on any shipments of oil out of Iran. We can either blow up any pipelines they have, shut down any shipping. So if we want to put real sanctions and real pressure on Iran, we can do it and have nobody in Europe or any place else suffer, because we can supply the energy needs that they need.
I think you're right, and right now
Iran is shaking in their boots because they see it going away. Saudi Arabia is also very capable of filling in anybody else's oil needs, because they're not selling half of what they did.
Well, there's been a big push in this administration too, and there's not enough credit given, quite frankly. Both Ava and Jim, I want to tell you both now, with the current administration, with the fact of energy being energy dependent, and the president came out right away and relaxed some of the rules, not to everybody's delight, but he tried to get America back on a trajectory of being energy efficient and being energy, you know, dependent of all of this chaos in the Middle East. Jim, you're 100% right. But that's because of the current administration, again, you know, because that was a lot.
He got those pipelines built overnight.
Exactly.
I mean,
all the things that Obama railed against with energy and all of that, with the pipelines and the rest of it, the administration has done a 180 on. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
exactly.
I think the Obama administration was supporting those Indians who had nothing in the world to really stand on them, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't on their grounds. It wasn't under anything. It wasn't going to destroy the river. I mean, this was just bogus noise.
Well, listen, let's get to a couple of other fast things here. We got a lot more stuff to talk about here. So listen, I want to talk to you about that hush fund a moment here. And Ava, you're going to love this story here, or maybe not. But here's the thing, let me tell you, first of all, Representative Patrick Meehan, he's a Republican now, okay? He's from Pennsylvania. And, of course, I just now understand, people, how this works. If you see there's several reports out about this today. But, of course, if you get the report from CNN or MSNBC or that, they'll put the GOP rate in front. When it's a Democrat, they don't do that. When it's a Republican, they do that, clearly, you see? But that's just what they do. So it's GOP, Representative. Well, okay, we got it. They're all slime. I mean, we know what they're doing. So he has to pay back $39,000. He is resigning from the House effective today. And let me tell you the story on this. So he is not seeking re-election, to say the least. And he's been under fire for some time by using taxpayer money, Ava. again, for a payment to a former staff member after sexual harassment accusations, okay? And he says, mm-hmm. while I do believe I would be, and I love this story here. Let me say this the way it needs to be said, people. This is Representative Patrick Meehan speaking now. He says, while I do believe I would be exonerated of any wrongdoing, I also did not want to put my staff through the rigors of an ethics committee investigation. What a nice Boy Scout this little pervert is. Isn't that nice? I love that. And believed it was best for them. He did this strictly for them now, people, okay? It was best for them to have a head start on new employment. Isn't that sweet? I just love this. He wants to give them a head start for new employment rather than being caught up in an inquiry. And so since that is the case, he's going to resign and do the noble thing and take one for the team. Isn't that sweet, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got a feeling there's quite a few of them that will be taking one for the team.
For the team. And so he's going to pay back the $39,000. He says within the 30 days from his resignation from the House of Representatives. And and of course, he says that he said he didn't have sex with a former staffer, that it's all made up. Yeah, yeah. Wink, wink. We got it, dude. We got it. And that he didn't do that on his wife. It wasn't that. But he does see the former staffer as a soulmate. But he never had sex with her again.
I did not have sex with that woman. I'm telling you. Okay. We got you, dude. We got your back. Oh, man. Can you believe that? And speaking...
I believe it.
So there's your hush fund, Ava. Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't leak any documents either.
But there's your hush fund, Ava. It's everything you've been talking about. Right? Right? I mean...
Yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It's nothing. It's nothing. But yeah. Ava, tell folks real quick. You've been... Tell people what the hush fund is real fast, what you're up against here.
Congressional compliance.
Bend over. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now that's an oxymoron right there. Yeah. Okay. Congressional compliance.
Bend over.
They comply with nothing lately, okay?
Right.
Except for the Freedom Caucus. A special fund during the Clinton years.
Right.
Of course, Bill Clinton would be the one to set this up. It's a special
slush fund. Well, he's the godfather of it.
You know. And it's for people who have a little dalliance and they want to hush the person up. So they pay them out of your taxpayer money to be quiet or to leave or whatever.
So basically, let me interpretate this for everybody so you all understand. So here you thought all along, people, the politicians were out screwing you. No, not really. They're screwing each other as well, literally. So it's all
They're screwing these young interns and staff they have. That's what they're doing.
A lot more to fall on this.
And we're paying them off, yeah.
All right, talking about perverts and screwing the American public, what did you both think of Bill Cosby? Wow.
Yeah,
he got what he deserved.
Hopefully.
He's a pathetic, caricature of himself, I think,
He has been acting his entire life. He's never been telling the truth ever. He's been acting for the entire life on and off the camera all the way through. What he's done is unbelievable. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of women here, people, that he has raped. Giving them drugs, knocked them out.
He's another Harvey Weinstein. He's in the same category.
This guy is he's at the real top of the list. I'm not even sure Harvey could live up to Bill's background here. I mean, he literally raped the women with drugs, intoxicating them with these drugs and liquor, and then had his way with them and raped them. In all kinds of fancy places, at all kinds of moments of time, he's been doing it through his entire life, and it was because this one lady, Andrea Constand, she, as they described her as being stoic. And of course, he started talking about putting some really harsh vocabulary out there. And he was talking street talk is what Cosby was doing at the district attorney and the others when all this was falling out. He was getting really nasty, ugly in your face. And of course, he's out still. He's not locked up right now. But he's got to have a sentence in. It's supposed to be 10 years per assault, 30 years in total. The attorney says he's going to appeal. So he may never. I'm going to tell you right now, people. I'm going to tell you right now.
He won't go.
He may never go to jail, Ava, because he's probably going to die first. You understand?
Huh? What was the name of the guy that was at Pennsylvania State that was
I love that
again, was a
Sandusky,
was elderly,
Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah,
he was an elderly man, and so they ended up kind of letting him off easy. He ended up passing away, I believe, like you
he
said.
He did. He died. And, he died. Yeah. And everything that happened about that. Anyway, so that's the deal with Bill Cosby there. And then I got to ask you guys, you all of you, because we haven't talked to you in the last couple of days here. Jim's been here with us. And what did you think about Kanye West and his comments about loving Trump and this Candace lady there?
Candace Owen. And I think this is a very interesting development.
Tell us what you think.
I think there is a lot to it. Very surprised with Kanye West and his outspoken method there on Twitter. And I am very happy to welcome Candace Owen to our ranks because she is telling the truth. She's telling the out loud truth.
Yes, she is. Jim, do you see this as a big deal with Candace Owen and what's going on? Do you also see it pretty interesting?
Totally. I think it's going to change the entire fabric of the elections this year. And even more so, it'll change the entire fabric of the Black movement being 100% aligned with the Democratic Party. What I've always called the new slave masters have been the Democrats running these cities and running these minority bastions of poverty. These people now have the opportunity for better jobs. Black unemployment is at a historic low, and they know this. They're making money, they're getting jobs, and they don't have to be on the street dealing drugs or standing in welfare lines. So you're going to bring humanity back to these people.
Dignity,
self-worth. And you'll see a change. And it's first going to happen it's not going to happen in the deep inner cities like South Side of Chicago where, you know, it's the shooting galleries. But it'll happen in the smaller towns across America, where people who are Blacks that have been on the margin mm-hmm. will get into the mainstream.
Well, we're all looking forward to this, Jim, this day. That's why I ask you, and I'm happy to hear what you're saying, because I do believe also we're at a moment. I'm listening to a lot of people on the platform and a lot of our leaders, and I think people and great Black Americans and others realize that this is enough of the nonsense out there, and they're tired of being on the plantation with the Democrats. Or the mm-hmm. Democans, we should appropriately call them. Listen, today is also hashtag Flashback Friday. You always love those opportunities. And I got to tell you what Dan says. He says, remember, and I forgot about this, guys. Remember when Jake Tapper dated Monica Lewinsky? He said, for obvious reasons, Jake would like us all to forget this chapter of his life. Interesting. And they call it sloppy seconds is what they have there.
Actually, I think Monica would be the one that would want to forget that.
Probably. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. She got a bad rap for sure there. There's so many Flashback Fridays. But listen, let's do our own Flashback Friday for times. We got to get to predictions here for Nozzle. And let's go. Ava, let's have you go first here tell us what your prediction is, please.
I'll talk about Iran and the Ayatollah, and I think that things are going to change there in a rather rapid move. I think there will be freedom in Iran very soon.
Wow. And the people want that there more than anything, Ava.
The Iranian people want it,
yeah. So,
very
Jim,
much.
What's your prediction?
Okay, my prediction is, based upon what's happening right now between North and South Korea, the Korean War started on June 25th, 1950. It ended on July 27th, 1953. Either one of those dates will be the date that the treaty ending the war is signed by North and South Korea in its finality. It won't be much beyond that. I mean, that's, you know, three months out from now or so. But I think, you know, they said they want to settle it and get it done this year. They're very much into symbolic dates and things in the Far East. So I think they'll pick one of those two dates to end the war.
All right. Very good. Listen, big thank you to Ava Armstrong, Jim McKay, who also are all over this network and platform. And again, these are many of the Patriots friends who are out there on the front lines. And many of them are many of our experts in Patriots. And we appreciate everybody that is out here doing the good fight. Listen, it has been an incredible week here on Nozzle, incredible week on America Out Loud, and the news is coming fast and quick, and we are keeping up with all of it and bringing it out here to you. And thank you again for being here with us. And my prediction is, friends, I'm going to have an awesome weekend. I hope you do as well. And we'll be back here on Monday, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.